I'm Shawn Thomas, and today I wanted to give one of my greatest hits. Back in 2011, I had this amazingly perfect, beautiful 10-pound, 14-ounce baby girl, and I thought life would just pick up and keep going just as it has the other three times. But upon having her, the doctor saw something different. And what they found was another instance of cancer. And let me just tell you, I'm a two-time cancer survivor. And this particular kind of cancer is what they call a silent killer. And had I not had this amazingly perfect, unexpected fourth child, this particular cancer, I probably wouldn't be standing here today. It's one of those things that they say, you know, it was contained, but they found it right in time. And that was a miracle. Even beyond that, to have that particular cancer be operated on and treated by the head of oncology at Emory University, which is known to be the best location to handle that particular kind of carcinoma. It was just a miracle. So today, as we give thanks, I was just reminded, and I wanted to share with you one of the many of my personal greatest hits.
Amen. Don't we serve an amazing God, a healer, a deliverer, and truly there is none like him in all of the earth. I want to thank each of you for pressing your way and being a part of our first Thanksgiving celebration as the Outlet community. I want to thank parents and grandparents for bravely bringing your children into the theater on today so that we could worship together as a family. To every first-time guest, welcome. It is truly an honor for us to worship with you today and to share God's holy and engrafted word. But I want to give a disclaimer. I hope whoever invited you shared with you the warning that I shared with them last week. This will not be service as normal, so I'm already going to tell you ahead of time there are going to be some questionable things that I'm playing over the stereo today. But they're all positive, but you probably haven't heard this stuff inside of church before. But we're going to have a great time celebrating greatest hits. And so I know people wondering, like, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? What type of greatest hits? What genre? And in the traditional church, greatest hits were called testimonies. Now, during the holiday, during the Christmas and Thanksgiving season, in between football games, Time Life comes on the television with golden oldies. They come on with the 80s and 90s R&B hits. They come up with all the songs that take us back to those moments that we remember. Now, for some of you who are extremely perfect and have never had secular lyrics dawn the entrance of thine own ears, the rest of us have some go-to songs that we like to go to for specific moods that we're trying to celebrate. Am I alone in that? And one thing about greatest hits is that without a shadow of a doubt, they take us back to moments, especially hits that bring us to times of enjoyment, times of excitement, times where things were going well, times where we remember we were without a care in the world. Sometimes we hear our childhood hits and we remember some of us playing outside until the streetlights came on. Some of us remember family gatherings where all of a sudden we would sing the famous family song. Well, just like music does that to our hearts, thinking about how good God has been to us, regardless as to what currently is going on in your life, things might not be perfect, but I want to encourage you today and give you some practical tips over this Thanksgiving season, this holiday season, to whenever you're not feeling the way you know you should, whenever things might not seem like they're lining up the way they should, I want to help you think about your greatest hits in your life, about the times where God came through for you when It seemed like your back was against the wall. You were similar and likened to the children of Israel as they were escaping slavery and heading to the place where God told them. And right before they were to cross the Red Sea, they noticed that they had an impossibility in front of them. But they knew on the other side it was where God told them to go. But they couldn't go back because what was behind them would kill them. So in the natural, it looked like if I went forward, I won't make it. But if I go back, I know I'll surely be killed. And some of us have been in tight places. And some of us have been in situations where I'm too far now to turn back. But yet I'm still too far from where I know I need to be to do it in my own strength. And it was in that moment that God caused something that doesn't happen in reality. He caused the Red Seas to part for them to do the miraculous before technology, before engineering. And God caused them to walk not on damp and muddy ground, but he caused them to walk on dry ground because that pillar of fire was leading them. And the children of Israel created a tradition that they're always going to be reminded of the many ways God provided for them when their natural resources and their natural intellect could not keep up with them. So if we would, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And as we're looking at this from a New Covenant, a New Testament standpoint, I want us to consider Paul. Because Paul was someone who had a life prior to Christ. I don't know if I'm with folk who just gonna be honest with me, but even if you grew up in church, you know, there was still some time before that decision was official. You know, I understand that you grew up from church from a very early age. You were saying your Easter speeches and your Easter dress and your purple suit with the 7 buttons. If you were born in the 90s, they had gold trim. Whatever it was, you've been in church, you've heard the things of God, but you remember what life was like prior to you actually making that decision that I'm going to live for God. And you remember some of the bonehead things that you kind of caught yourself up in, where you said, God, if you could just get me out of this situation right here, God, look, I promise you this. If you can get me out of this, Lord, I promise that I serve you all the days of my life. And then 58 times after that, we still find ourselves saying the same thing. Well, Paul got to a place in his life where he began to reflect and evaluate the goodness of God to this current point. If you're breathing right now, God has been good to you. If you for a moment think about the adversity that you've had to go up against, the trials that you've overcome, you know deep down on the inside you didn't have enough strength to do that in your own might. The mere fact that it's Sunday morning before a Falcons game and you're in the house of God, God has brought you a mighty long way. I'm oftentimes amazed because I personally enjoy getting to know each of you. I personally enjoy listening to your stories and finding out about your lives, finding out your pet peeves, finding out what makes you tick, finding out what you're passionate about, because that gives me an insight to the things that you were able to overcome, the things that you were able to persevere through. And what I have discovered by this beautiful community that God has graced us to lead, and all the friends and family and just guests that come in, the beautiful people that God gives me the most amazing privilege to speak into your lives, I'm amazed at your story. Because if I can be honest, I keep a straight face, but in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, my God, you are one strong individual, because I don't know how I would have fared in your shoes. And sometimes when we leave those moments of the miraculous, those events that take place, and we begin to experience God's goodness, we can sometimes be like the children of Israel and forget that it was God who has given us the power to live the life that we lived. Have you all noticed that before we had anything, we were very humble? You know, when things were really tight, we were extra attentive to what thus says the Lord for us. But doesn't it seem like when during times of surplus, during times of increase, during income tax check refund time, we feel like we got here all by ourselves. And we can sometimes forget it was the Lord our God who has been faithful to us when we weren't faithful to him. And we can forget sometimes that it was the Lord our God who was looking out for us when we in our own self made the wrong decisions. That it was the Lord our God who opened up ways when we thought there was no possible way to function. And I'm grateful for culture in this sense today, is that this week we're going to do something that I pray we start doing every single day. We count our blessings one by one. Recently, as we're getting ready for the end of the year review of our church finances and sending them out to our external firm that does all of the bookkeeping, tracking, etc., part of what they're asking us and they asked us to do was itemize every single purchase that we've made since our church has been in existence. And I'll be honest, during that time, I personally was going through a tough spell. Just how many of you know whenever you start and you believe something and you've got pressures on one side of what you started, but at the same time, you got to go live at home at the same time. And so you put one foot in front of the other, you fight the good fight of faith, you count it all joy, but nevertheless, how many know we're still human? And our emotions still try to get the best of us. And I was having one of those days where my emotions were getting the best of me. I started trying to feel sorry for myself because I was thinking about all that I had to do because I forgot that all of what God had already done. And so when I began writing out the inventory of the Outlet community one by one, 6 pages later, the Lord asked me, did you have any of that when you started in May? I said no, and I looked and was able to see the goodness of God. So if y'all have noticed me over the last couple of weeks just holding the Keurig machine and just saying, Keurig, thank you for the many blessings you provide each Sunday, for the caffeine that runs warm through all of our veins. Thank you, Lord, for the podium that we didn't have. I don't know if y'all could just understand something just for a moment. When you didn't have nothing, when there was nothing to your name, when there was no way out, and you have a table, you have electronics, my goodness, but greater than all of that, God, thank you for a community of people who have a heart to love you, to serve you, to give to you. And I just had in that moment to give God the glory for the good that he has done. I think sometimes as children, because we don't know all of what goes into something, we can take what we do have for granted. But just think about your body and all of the processes that are at work right now in your body as we speak. None of us are smart enough to make our own body inhale and exhale. If we just boil it down to just that I have breath in my body. Because the only way to ruin something that's good that's brought to you is to compare it to something else. I learned a great lesson about marriage prior to getting married over 10 years ago when I bought the great Altima that I have today. Before I bought the Altima was my dream car. I loved the Altima. It was beautiful. I would just go to dealerships and just look at Altimas all day long. And so I finally had enough money to get my own Altima, my very first car in 2008. I'll never forget that. And as soon as I drove the car off the lot, I had to go pick up something from Walmart. And it was this is while I was dating Ashley. I went to Walmart. And I pulled into Walmart in the back because, you know, I'm not going to let you nick and ding my Altima. And when I got out the car and I was feeling myself, too. I had my music. You know, when your car is clean or it's new, you got to find that one ratchet track that has all the bass to let everybody know you're coming. Okay, well maybe that's just me and my ratchet tendencies, but I like letting folk know that I'm around when I got something nice. Now, the ultimate kind of old, I drive with the radio down, don't want you to look, you know. But 10 years ago, she was mighty fine. And so I got out the Altima. And when I got out the Altima, I closed the door. And guess what pulled up next to me? A Maxima. And that's when the Altima was no longer my favorite car. And but in that immediate moment, it wasn't 2 hours that I had a brand new car. That I was y'all know how you really believing? You got the car everywhere. You're just doing all kind of legalistic stuff, thinking that God's like a magician, just gonna drop a whole vehicle out of heaven, just commit burglary and everything, just steal the car and just drop it in your parking. I mean, all the crazy stuff we do in faith. We'll talk about that in 2019. And I mean, I was so happy. I was shouting. I'm telling y'all, we got to shout as a church sometime, but y'all know one of them shouts that just aren't one of them cute little shouts. You know, it's one of them shouts you got to hold and you got to just, yes, yes. It's one of them kind of shouts. But the moment I looked to the right of me and took my eyes off of what God has done in my life, I diminished the grace it took to be able to live out my dream. And how many of us have looked to the right, to the left, scrolled up, scrolled down, swipe left or swipe right, and have felt in your feelings about where your life is? Forgetting the fact that you could pay your cell phone bill has been a great improvement. Forgetting the fact that you're on your own Wi-Fi, in your own dwelling place, in your own place, holding an electronic phone that if you were born 99 and earlier, if you know how God has brought our telephone devices a mighty long way. If I can get a little hoop right here, I'm going to hoop about some cell phones this morning. I said, y'all remember, in 1988, Saved by the Bell phone edition, the phone was the size of my iPad Pro. And when the phone came out, you had to use both fingers to press one button. And then we thought we were updating. Why? Because Motorola came out with the beeper. You couldn't answer the beeper. You just had to know that you were paged by someone. But then the Lord took us from the beeper to the flip phone. You know you were living when you had that Motorola. Yes, the Motorola with the skinny antenna. Don't let it rain, because you wouldn't have no reception. But when you did have reception, God picked you up and he gave you a Nokia phone. But if you know about your Nokia phone had the game Snake on it. And when you were playing Snake, no one could tell you nothing. But when Nokia started to die and explode, but they were some reliable phones, all of a sudden, BlackBerry came out, and you got to type on your telephone. So not only could I talk to you, but I could tell you off with a mini novel. Yes, God. And then the iPhone came. All right. Had to take y'all. Throwback Sunday today. But you got to think about this. Come on, you mad because your internet's slow. You had AOL, remember? You were rich if you had two phone lines. Most of us had to use the main line, so we couldn't get on the phone during normal calling or internet during normal calling hours. But my internet, it seems slow. It's kind of blurry for my video games that you get to play with your friends. Playing video games with your friends used to mean friends came to the house to play video games. Now we have in tournaments, and now video games on ESPN. We have come a mighty long way. And if you think about what we complain about, it disregards what God has done in our life. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Oh, yeah, we do need the Bible. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is Paul. And he's writing in verse 12, and as a person who had lived in ministry, as a person who is now pastored, works, he is writing back to the young pastors to encourage them, to encourage the people that they lead, the type of mindset that they should have. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, I thank, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. I don't know if anybody ever felt like you're at the verge of just completely burning out. You feel like you're at the verge of being completely overwhelmed. Stop trying to do that in your strength. It's God that's going to give you the strength to do his work. He says, he considered me trustworthy. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him. In the King James Version in verse 12, it says, God counted me faithful. It didn't say that we were faithful. He counted that as if we were faithful by putting us. And when it says ministry, it's not just simply talking about the fivefold gifts. It's talking about where God has placed you right now. He's already counted you faithful for the task. He's already given you the energy to do the task. And all he wants you to realize is that because he has already counted you faithful, he's given you every resource you need to bring whatever he's called you to do to completion. Even though, and this is Paul, even though, verse 13, I used to blaspheme the name of Christ, he counted us faithful even though our lives look nothing like what a person that he counted faithful looks like. I want you to think about that type of mercy. I want you to think about that type of love that says, I see something in you that you don't right now see in yourself. And so I'm going to put you in a position to bring out areas that you wouldn't even know to look for. See, just by the Spirit of God, some of you are wondering, I feel like I'm in over my head. I feel like I can't do this. I feel like that it feels like everything is coming down around me. What the Lord is trying to get you to see in this season is that if you could just for a moment know that he's already gifted you for the assignment, he is going to give you what you need to transcend all the adversity that you face, because he's going to cause you to develop character in places that you thought you were good in. Oh, y'all don't hear me on that one. There are areas we think that we straight. We think we've done all the growing that we need to do at times. But when we get in certain moments and the real us show up, you know, we shout till we get hit with something. And it's, oh, Jesus, what happened to me? Why me, Lord? God is trying to show us that there's even greater and that there's more. He said, in my insolence, I persecuted his people, but God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Oh, how generous and how gracious our Lord was, because he filled me with the faith and love that comes from Christ Jesus. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. If you could for a moment, just for a moment, think with me to a life without God. And if you could think with me for a moment, being active in that life and doing things that should have gotten you killed. And where he's brought you from and what he's brought you to. Just the fact alone that you are accepted in the beloved, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. In verse 3, he said, the fact that he's given you all spiritual blessings. The fact, 2 Peter 1 and 3, that he's given you everything that pertains to this life and godliness. Because what we just read, he counted you. He credited to your account before you had the resources to do it. Because here's the reality. In our best days, we still fall short. And in our worst days, God is right there reminding us to keep moving forward. But there was someone else who had the same type of experience. And what we're about to read is King David. If you all remember the story of King David, shortly after he became king, during wartime, David was up on the roof and saw a woman bathing, clearly with no clothes on, that was not his wife. And David conspired to have a man who was honorable assassinated just to cover up a mistake he had done with his wife. David tried to hide it, but one thing I want you all to know, you think that because it's dark, no one sees it. God is always present. But in spite of David's error, after there were consequences for his decision, if you have time later on, read 2 Samuel chapter 7, starting at verse 1, you're going to see God come back to David and restore him. And to give him something that will cause us to take a man who deserves to be forgotten about, to be talking about to this day. And it completely broke David down. And so in verse 18, it says, then King David went and sat before the Lord and prayed. Sometimes when everything is going crazy, if you could just sit by yourself and say these words, who am I, O sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you have brought me this far? Who am I, Lord? What is my family that you have brought us where we are today? God, who am I that you constantly looked after me? God, after all the things that I've done wrong, after all the mistakes that I've made, after all the decisions, see, we're not talking about the stuff that people did to us. I'm talking about the stuff that we did. And we get to have the same testimony as David. Who are we? What is my family that you brought us this far? That same verse in 2 Samuel chapter 7 in verse 19 in the New King James Version, it says, and yet this was a small thing in your sight, O Lord. So as I was praying last night, the Lord wanted me to pass a message on to you. And it just, as I was just, I mean, y'all know how you start fake shouting and then you all of a sudden start real shouting? Anybody ever just, like, you just playing around and then all of a sudden you just lose your mind? And I had like 15 exercise minutes just kind of shouting. And the Lord, he wanted me to share these words with you. And I want to read them specifically because they're for you. Maybe this current album or season you are experiencing may not be your favorite. It's in those moments that you need to be reminded of your greatest hits in times past. See, in 2 Samuel 7 and 19, what I did for David was small in my sight. For some, it seems like you're facing loss after setback, after disappointment. Y'all have been there where it just seems like, don't let this phone ring anymore. Don't let me get another text message. Don't let me get another phone call. Don't let me run into another place. Don't let another thing happen, because God, I can take one or two things, but this seems like a string of events after event after event after event. And I remember being in that similar place after everything took place at the top of this year. One of the most devastating things that happened while my world was reeling is my grandmother immediately fell dead. And I said, God, God, it's tough. I can't do this. But if you're a person of influence and leadership, you don't get the privilege of laying and giving yourself a pity party, because life keeps going. And I said, God, there is nothing left. I am completely empty. I am completely broken. Fill me. And it was the strength that we needed to keep pushing forward. My mind was just going tilt, where you're trying to figure out life and at the same time you're planning arrangements for your grandmother who was alive and well. I never shared this before, but my aunt was sitting with my grandmother. About a week before she died, and my grandma, she was born, lived, raised on the east side of Detroit, tough as nails, house burned down, got insurance money, guess what she did, built the same house in the same area with the insurance money. She wasn't leaving the east side, grandma. She was just angry. She said, I can't believe they did my grandson wrong. But she asked my aunt, do you think Vince is going to be okay? And my aunt, who's she's a pastor in Houston, she said, oh, Vinny will be just fine. And she told my aunt about a week before she died, I prayed to God to allow me to live long enough to see him pastor a church. Sometimes when we look at life's situations, in our own estimation, we may say, that's bad. We may say, that's unfavorable. We may say, that's not something we want to deal with. But in the overall scheme of things, sometimes the answers to our prayers come in the most inopportune ways. And could it be the very things that we're complaining about are the very things that we prayed for? Perspective. But everything that the Lord wanted us to say, he said, if it seems like you're facing a loss after setback, after disappointment. He said, but I've come today to remind you to take a moment and think of all the miraculous things that have taken place in your life and that have brought you to current date, and let you know this. The good you've already experienced in your life, who's experienced some just amazing and miraculous things in your life? This is for you today. The good you've experienced in your life is small compared to where you're about to go. And it was like a word right in my heart for you today. You thought things were good before. You thought that was miraculous before. That was actually quite small compared to what you're about to walk in, compared to what you're about to be introduced to. And just by the grace of God, may he equip you, may he strengthen you, and may he cause his face to shine upon you as you walk that out in your life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I thought this was really interesting. Verse 11 in the King James, it says, "The things that we read in the Bible were written to us as in samples." E-N in the word sample. Well, as we're doing our music thing, I wanted to think about a music sample is when you use a portion or a sample of a sound recording in another recording or in another event. So when someone samples a track, they take an older track and they place it on a newer track, and sometimes it results in a greatest hit. So as I was thinking about this, I thought about, you know, just what songs kind of did that. Well, if y'all remember, so what song? But what did it sample? So the Word of God is the sample to all of your greatest hits. So everywhere you go, every promise God has given you, as you trace over the course of your life, you are going to see the Word of God in interaction and in play with you. So every time you're reading about God causing miraculous things to take place in the New Testament, we see people being miraculously healed. We see people being raised from the dead. We see all type of power being done. That is a sample for what God is going to do in your life if you only believe. But any time that we fail to remain grateful and we allow culture to dictate if we're blessed or not based off of physical things that we have, we will be the next contestant on American Idolatry, placing anything above God, what He said, what He's asked us to do. Getting caught up in the rat race of life, trying to acquire, trying to get, trying to gain apart from God, will end up falling prey to the culture of idolatry. Think about even ourselves, things we told God we won't do because we're on the throne. We're trying to control everything. We have to let go and allow God to lead us. So what composes our life's greatest hits? Number one, the mercy of God. See, when things have happened, it wasn't because we were just that smart. Sometimes we receive what we didn't deserve. The opportunities, the positions, none of us are smart enough to receive any good thing from the Lord. But what that should produce in you when you realize that it wasn't you is an attitude of humility and gratitude, knowing everything you get, that's a gift. I didn't earn that. It's God's grace. The second thing our greatest hits are composed of, which is a cuss word in most churches, patience. Sometimes we want God to work right now. God, look, I've been believing you for 37 minutes, and I'm telling you, can you imagine, just think about how old you are. How many years has God had to be patient with you? And we have a hard time waiting 3 months, 6 years. There's something being worked out in us. Patience produces an endurance. There's a confidence. That if you're going to reach one person or you're going to reach 1,000, it's the same preparation. Because you know, as you keep sticking with it, God has you. But the last thing a greatest hit for your life does and what it's made of is your authentic story. I want you to stop trying to be like everybody else. I want you to stop listening to other people's stories and thinking that your life is going to be the exact same. It is not. The only thing another person's story will do is encourage you that if God was able to meet them where they were at their point of need, that the same God is going to meet me at my point of need. Amen. Let's stand.